minutes. Prepare ourselves for a morning of worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are. We thank you for your faithfulness upon which our hope relies. Father, we thank you for the freedom we enjoy in this country to worship you. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Before we get into our hymn, would you please open your Bibles to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. This morning, we're in our 9:15 class. We're studying Psalm 86, in which we have five, in verse 15, we have five essences of God. And the last essence that we studied, we're in the midst of studying now, is the faithfulness of God. I don't know if parents still do this anymore. But I remember the first prayer I learned was, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die while I sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep." And people, I go to bed that way. I think we all go to bed that way. If I die, I'm going to be in heaven. Why do you and I believe that? Faithfulness of God. If God is not faithful, we can't pray that. If God is not faithful, we can't go to sleep at peace at that. Every parent that's raised a teenager knows that. Unfaithfulness? Ha! See? I got to double check. Sometimes triple check. Be sure. God is faithful. What he says, he will do. He's done. So let's look at Isaiah 25, verse 1 and 2. Because faithfulness of God is important in our prayer life. O Lord, you are my God. He's in prayer. He's telling God, you're my God. And let me just tell you something, people. That is a wonderful thing for you and I to do, to tell God that we know he's our God. You're our God. I don't have any other God. You're my hope. You're my rock. You are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. You have worked wonders, plans formed long ago from your faithfulness. So, the plan of our eternal life salvation is based on his faithfulness. If God is not faithful, people, we have no confidence. We have no hope. You have hope, confidence, faithfulness of God. That's why we have it, because God is faithful. So let's stand and sing hymn number 216, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Hymn number 216, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Okay, let's talk about some prayer things. And, first of all, just start out. Jim, how's everything going? Any reports from the doctors yet? We'll stay in prayer. Had a wonderful time Wednesday night. Those of you that weren't able to come and missed it, we had a wonderful birthday party for Jim. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm very thankful that little Ellen was here. I think she learned some things about her grandparents she didn't know.
And I'd like to say thank you, too, if you don't mind. I really enjoyed Wednesday night, and I want to thank everybody that had time to come and could make it. Glad you did. That made it very, very special for me.
Good.
Probably one of the greatest first birthday I've had.
Well,
thank you for doing that. Also, I want to thank Judith and Herman for making that possible.
Well. Thank you for all that you do for our assembly, Jim. Thank you for our friendship.
Let's see your socks.
Yeah. Woo! All right. Man, I hope I can do that when I'm 82 years old. I can't even do that now at 77. What I mean, 82. Oh, wow. Oh. Okay. Let's see. We have any prayer. How's Thomas doing?
He's doing good. We did go see the cardiologist on Monday. Remember, he had an appointment.
Yes.
And she wanted to actually put him on some beta blockers because his number, the EFV valve flow, there's a high, medium, and low. He's a little below the low. And he didn't want to. I didn't want him to. So we said, can we test again? He started exercising already prior to this appointment.
Good.
So he's on a good exercise regimen, and we're trying some things, and then we'll retest. I think he goes February 8th. And so she said if we can get the number up to 50, she's fine with that. We'll just monitor him. But it's important because once that muscle gets damaged, it's damaged. So that's what we're trying to prevent. And the problem with him going on heart medication is it affects his lung medication.
Right.
And even she's concerned about that. There's not too many that work with the lung situation that he has. So we really need to pray that he does not have to get put on the heart meds. And and he's trying, too. He's really being consistent with his exercise and stuff.
I'm amazed with some people's body. They need this for one part, but that will also hurt the other part. So they got to take something to help that part. That hurts another part. And it's tough. So we'll continue being in prayer. How is your dad?
Dad's doing good. Yeah, he's doing
fine.
We're waiting for, I think next month he'll go for his liver recheck. But as far as his feeling, he's stubborn as ever, so.
He asked about your brother.
Oh, Bobby, actually, thank you for your prayers. He's doing, he's improving. So continue to pray. He's back at work. When there's work available, and he's sounding, I haven't seen him, but he sounds better over the phone. His voice sounds more stronger and stuff and a little bit more active. So, yeah, just continue.
Okay, we pray for your son.
Yeah.
We pray for your father. And for your brother. What about your husband? How's he doing? We got to get him back up here singing, though. Yes, absolutely. Okay, any other prayers or requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be? Yes, sir.
A couple things. Please continue to be in prayer for, especially the seniors that that are involved with our youth ministry, but all of the kids, but the seniors are coming into the end of their senior year in high school when they're making some pretty tough decisions, and it's weighing on a lot of them, and they're carrying it. So that's one. Please pray for them. Second, please continue to pray for the teaching that goes on in the youth groups that we have each week. Lori and I just kicked off Revelation with the youth group, and you want to talk about a pretty entertaining book to try to teach the kids.
Amen.
To try to teach the adults, I'm sure, too. Please be in prayer for the teaching that's going on there.
Good.
And then I have an announcement with the group. Chili next week. Mm-hmm. Chili next week. Next week we will have our chili cook-off. Please come prepared for our the communion service next Sunday morning, and then we will follow up with a chili cook-off and raise a few dollars for the youth ministry and the camps and stuff, and it's a good time. So,
when you say prepare, you mean prepare, be hungry and have money.
I don't even really care if you're hungry. Just bring your money.
Oh man, very good.
No, please come prepare. There's going to be some good chili. But that is a big fundraiser for us to support the kids.
Yes, absolutely. So that'll be next Sunday. Yes?
One of Ryan's friends, her father just passed away a week ago Saturday, 48 years old, sudden cardiac arrest.
How old?
48.
48.
The family, yep. Three children. And I would just like to ask that you guys be in prayer for the Murphy family and whatever the Wise family is supposed to be doing to guide them.
Very good.
Sat through a funeral that, as beautiful as it was, and his wife spoke for over 30 minutes about their life. There was not one mention of Christ.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I hope you realize we're spoiled here compared to what a lot of churches don't get. And what was the name of the family that the
Murphys?
Murphys? Okay, we'll be in prayer for the Murphys.
And Ryan is friends with one of the daughters, so
okay.
I don't know if it's Ryan or I, but...
Wow. Are they in the Plano area?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. And it was a cardiac arrest, unexpected and everything. Wow. 48 is very young. Man. Okay, let's be in prayer for the Murphys. Yes?
If you guys remember my friend at work, Leticia,
yep.
that her brother-in-law passed away and they had a memorial service the past Friday. And the autopsy came back somewhat as sort of a drug related. Now it's tearing her apart because this is something that, you know, it's always hard for any family to have to deal with death already, and now knowing the way it went. So something like that. So please keep her in prayer.
Yep.
And I can't disclose all of the other details. She's also fighting in her spirit about the place where she belongs at work because she's been transferred from department to department. She's a very talented girl. She loves the Lord. She grew up in the United Methodist Church in Plano. I do see that she's trying and she's still very young, very talented, and she's not being given the proper opportunity. So please pray for her.
Yes.
I would really appreciate it. Yeah,
very good. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Yeah, safe travels for Debbie. She's flying out to Alabama right now.
Oh, wow.
For the week.
All right. Thank you. Be in prayer. All right. How long?
Just for the week. She'll be back next weekend.
Okay. All right. That's it. Over here. Yes, sir.
I've never had a prayer request since I've been here, but I guess it's time because next week I've got a paid vacation to go up and see my dad. I haven't seen him for 30 years.
Wow. Okay.
And we talk a lot on the phone, but I haven't seen him for 30 years.
Wow.
So.
You might want to take a picture of what you looked like the last time he saw you. He might be sure to recognize you. That's me, Dad. Wow. We'll be in definite prayer. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. All right, any other prayer requests? I don't care what you think of President Trump in a lot of areas, but people, what he's done for America is not being talked about. He's decreased the unemployment. He has helped the economy in so many different ways, at home and abroad. But what you and I should care about significantly is Israel. Those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. He's moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, as you know, and is still getting flack from that from around the world. But other countries are following suit. And he now has in his possession some type of peace treaty in the Middle East that involves Israel, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, all his countries. Now, they're trying to decide, he is, when he's going to announce this treaty. He's met with Netanyahu. In April the 9th, Israel will have an election. And Netanyahu has received a lot of the pressure that Trump receives here. So they have an election. So you might want to pray for that. And he asked President Trump not to announce it till after the election. Trump has talked with him. Maybe we need to do it before the election as a boost to people voting for you. So those are the kinds of decisions. Most important will be this treaty, but when it's to be announced. Now, Satan cannot stand for what's happening with Israel and America. Now, Pelosi, head of the House, is an anti-American, anti-constitutional America. And, she, if you put the names on the board now, she has appointed Ilhan Omar to House Foreign Affairs. Omar is a devout Muslim, born in Somalia, and she's made it very clear, she's a Muslim, and she's faithful to Muslim. Faithful to Islam. I don't understand how an American can vote for a Muslim, for an Islam, who are against God, against Christ, against the Bible, against America, against Israel. But they're getting voted in. And even more damaging than that is Rashida Tlaib. She's sending her to the West Bank to get the Palestinians' view. Trump and his staff emphasizes what's going on from Israel. She wants to know what the Palestinians have to say, what Hamas has to say. So she said, and she is also a Muslim, devout Muslim. So we have two devout female Muslims in our Congress. Both are being used by Pelosi as key figures in her reign as head of the House. And people, America, need your prayers. Trump needs your prayers, but America needs your prayers. I don't understand. I really don't understand how one can vote for a communist, anti-American, anti-Christ, anti-freedom. But many voted for Sanders. Declared communist. I don't see how Americans can vote for a Muslim who are anti-God, anti-America, anti-Israel, want America done away with, want Israel done away with, and yet voted them in. That's where we are in this country. And it's going to get worse. A lot of people that deal with prophecy are saying that 2019 is going to be a pivotal year. It may or may not, I don't know. But they're giving a lot of reasons for saying that. And things like what Pelosi's doing kind of verifies what they're saying. But we need to be in prayer in these areas, people. Please be in prayer for Spring Valley Bible Church. We need your prayers. We need the finances to get things done. The internet, missionaries, young people, just things that we do. So let's begin. Have a word of prayer before we go to offering. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness. We depend on your faithfulness daily. Our hope is based on your faithfulness. The confidence of our lives depend on your faithfulness. And we praise you that you're a faithful God. And we call on your faithfulness in regard to Spring Valley Bible Church, that you will oversee us financially, that you will oversee us with people coming in to listen and grow in the Word of God. Father, I pray that you receive the offerings we're about to give. You'll continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, Gigi, can you give me? Yes, I'm going to get with Jim Passmore, and we're going to announce 2 weeks before we do it by constitution of our church the Sunday that we're going to do it.
So you'll let us know kind of what our,
yes,
what our needs are?
Okay. Not exactly where we are. Okay, yes, we are. Does anyone not have submission and authority and submission? Not do you get it or want it, but do you have the handout on it? All right. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. We have dealt with the laws of divine establishment. Then we dealt centering our concentration on divine institution number 2, marriage. And this morning, we're dealing with authority and submission. Next Sunday, submission. Ladies, it took me a while to get to it. I was trying to be very thoughtful. I just didn't jump right to it. I wanted to lay some good groundwork. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you are an authority over our lives. And as long as we submit to you, the power of your Spirit, we know we'll be in harmony with your plan. Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in our study this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Colossians 3:18. Wives, in both here in Ephesians, he takes up the woman's first. We'll cut it and we'll look at why in a few moments later. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now, Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, Martha, I hope you have a good sense of humor, but I'll send Kit my message. And Kit will write it back, and on the left he'll have comments. And he says, I think we need to head off a Martha question. And he does that occasionally. And one of the Martha questions was, you would have said, be subject is not in the original text in the Ephesians 5:22. And it is not. So I've rearranged how I did it for my Martha question. 5:21 as the verb, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord, wives to your own husbands as unto the Lord. So the verb is understood from verse 21, that's in verse 22. So the Greek verb is the same in these two verses. But before we look at submission, we should note the divinely established principle of authority. Authority is fundamental in all four of the divine institutions, personal volition, marriage, family, nationalism. As we look at authority, I want to start off with some basic principles related to authority. Just some bullets that I want you to have in mind when you think about authority. One, God is the author of authority. Starting with himself, over all creation, over angels, mankind, nature, and the universe. God is authority. 2, in the human realm, authority does not necessarily mean superiority. Because someone has authority, because you have to submit to someone, does not mean that they are superior to you. Just because one is in authority does not mean they are superior to those who have to submit to that authority. They are in the position of authority. And the third bullet, in some circumstances, you get to pick whose authority you will submit to. While in others, you have no choice at all. You are to submit. For an example, we all start off under the authority in which we have no choice. That is our parents. See? We didn't even get to put in a request form. Nothing. We're born to that family. Parental authority. To train us, to rear us, to be productive citizens, and Christian adults. Here we first learn about authority at home. Unfortunately, not all that many parents today take their responsibility seriously, with the result that many, many children grow up with little to no respect of authority because they're simply not trained at home. Now, this is not in your notes, but I want to add, it can be overtrained. In other words, you can have authority of a mother or dad who beat you and all of this, so you grew up hating authority, resenting it in that respect. So it can be a neglect of teaching authority. It can be teaching the wrong kind of authority, that you fear it, and all of this kind of thing. It's very tough being a parent. Well, we go through all this stuff you got to do to have a weapon, but we have no kind of papers for being a parent. See? You got the body of a female, body of a male, go at it. See? No instruction manual. And that's a shame. Being a parent is an unbelievable challenge. They are the first domain of authority in their lives. You have that wonderful privilege of teaching that. Another area we have no choice about authority we have to submit to is in education. We have teachers, which we did not choose from the first grade through high school. Unfortunately today, administration often takes the sides of the pupil and parents over and against the teacher. It's amazing. Another area where you do not get to choose your authority over you is the military. This is an excellent place to learn about authority. If you didn't learn it at home, and you didn't learn it in church, you didn't learn it in school, go to the military. It's a good place to learn about authority and submission to authority. Even when you do not want to submit, even when you don't think you should submit, you submit. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's it. Do it. You don't see anything but that rank. That's all you see. Okay? Now, there are areas of life where we choose those to whom we will submit. Generally speaking, in the work world, we choose where we're going to work and submit to our employers, whoever they may be. If you don't like it, don't try to get them fired. Move on. Another area is in the local church. You get to choose where you attend. Here the pastor teacher, by authority of the Word of God, is the authority by God's design. There will certainly be times you will question what he's teaching, and certainly you will disagree with some of his decisions. But he's an authority of the local church, and he teaches you the Word of God. You can change churches, but you will be under the authority of the pastor wherever you choose to go. And then, of course, there's the area of our study. You ladies get to choose under whose authority you will submit the rest of your life, your husband. Now, many ladies, even Christian ladies, do not like the fact that the husband is in authority. But ladies, best you learn and believe and live the Word of God before you ever marry. In Genesis chapter 3, which we studied, God set it up where the wife is under the authority of her husband. after the fall. Because you have fallen and disobeyed God, you are under the authority of your husband. Period. Not a decision to be made. It's it. God set it down. See? I personally know several ladies who have are so claimed to love the Lord. But I personally know they do not submit to the authority of their husbands at all. They run him down. They laugh at him. All kinds of things. I'll tell you what. A husband that would talk against his wife to anybody else, a wife that would run down her husband to anyone else, it just has to be the worst marriage, pitiful. You don't ever want to do that. If you don't like it, keep your thoughts to yourself. Because I want to tell you something, it reflects on you. If you run down your wife, hey, you ask her to marry you. You run down your husband, hey, you said yes to marry him. So you're talking against yourself as well as the other person, and as well as against the Word of God. It's a very simple principle. You cannot love the Lord and live contrary to His Word. 1 John makes this very clear. Ladies have all kinds of excuses and reasons why they do not have to submit to their husbands. But the crucial point is, if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will submit to your husband's authority. Period. That's it. No matter what you claim, the truth is going to be known by your daily life in your relationship with your husband, ladies. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Now watch. So that, why did God put an authority? Look, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the Word. Well, my husband doesn't go to church, I don't have to obey. That's not in the Bible. You don't get to say that. My husband doesn't love the Lord. My husband this. That's not the point. He's your husband. Now look what it says. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the Word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Verse 2, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely, that's included, merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold, jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, put their confidence in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. That's how they adorned themselves, by being submissive. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered, men. One of the great prayer hindrances to men is their relationship with their wives. Remember that. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, there are principles of submission, which is founded on the principle of authority. Okay? Let's take a look. Point one, definition of authority. Authority is a legal power delegated by God under the laws of divine establishment, whereby certain members of the human race have jurisdiction and responsibility for others. Authority exists in both the temporal and spiritual realm under the laws of divine establishment. Authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Period. 2. authority and the fall in the garden, it is important to note that both the man and the woman rejected the authority of the Lord in the garden. He told them both, "Do not eat of the forbidden tree." They both ignored his warnings and rejected his authority to tell them that. The result was they both sinned. As a result, both died spiritually in the garden, and both received a sin nature. The woman, Eve, fell under authority to the Lord and to his words to her. The man, Adam, fell under authority to the Lord and listening to the words of his wife. Genesis 3:17. Genesis 3, in this section, deals with God's statements about the fall. He started with the serpent, then the woman, and the man. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Think about it, men. We're in 2019. The earth is still under a curse. And you know why? It's our fault. The earth is under curse because of men. Listening to the voice, the commands of his wife. Now, it's not in your notes. Don't overreact. David did well listening to Abigail. A lot of men do well in listening to the wisdom of their wives. But it takes a wise woman to know how to say it. You don't say it as a command. That's one way to be sure it's not going to be done. You offer it as a suggestion. You offer it by insight. You offer it at the right time. That's wisdom, ladies. That's wisdom, men, when to listen. But if their words counter the word of God, it's off. Forget it. See? The first civilization began with authority and rejection against the authority. That is the authority of the Lord and his words. Move to point three. By the way, I'll go through these. You got questions, comments, something, raise your hand. We're small enough we can do that. Okay, if we had 10,000, probably wouldn't be able to do it. But with what we have, we can do it. All right, point three. There are certain areas of authority in life which are established by God himself. These authorities are based on the laws of divine establishment. The sooner you learn these, and the sooner you submit to these, the more in harmony your life will become with God. You'll have peace, inner peace, when you're in harmony with the Lord. You may not like it, but you're at peace with it, in harmony with God. See? As you refuse to submit, the more trouble you're inviting into your life. And here in our study in your marriage. But just let's go from a known. You're a student in school. You refuse to submit to the authority of the teacher. You're not going to study. Guess what on test day? Guess who fails? You fail. That's going to make your life uncomfortable. And if you back that up with more failures, you'll do it again. Repeat that course. Well, at least you used to. I don't know what Left Behind does anymore. But in the days gone by, if you fail a course, you had to take the first grade, second grade, third grade over again. Whatever grade. But you learn these things. I don't like it, but I better study. Because I'm going to be tested. And so we start learning. That makes your life kind of smooth. It's really nice to be able to go to a party or to a movie knowing you've done your homework. Knowing you're ready for class. See? And that's the way it is with God. It's smooth and harmony and peace in our soul when we're right before God. The first area of authority is God's direct authority. Today in the church age, God's direct authority is known only through his word. Not through dreams, not through visions, not through trances, not through hallucinations. Like, I heard the voice of God, and it gave me something different. Always tell when these people have this, is they want to counter something in His Word. They want to improve on whatever's going on in the Word of God. People like the epileptic criminal Muhammad, the delusional Joseph Smith, had visions, trances, in which they learned things counter to the Word of God. It always has to be that way. You take the Word of God, well, I got to counter that. So an angel told me, Gabriel. Poor Gabriel gets blamed for so much. But Gabriel got blamed for Muhammad, got blamed for Joseph Smith. He gets blamed for a lot that he didn't do. But this is our authority. So if you want to go against it and have authority for going against it, oh, I had a dream. I had a vision. See? My dream or vision told me I don't have to listen to my husband. I don't have to listen to the pastor. I can do my own thing. See? That's how these things get by. God exercises His authority through the completed canon of Scripture. Point four. The first divine institution is individual volition. This is each person's authority in their own lives. This morning in our 9:15 class, we studied, do you ever betray who you are? And we're studying the faithfulness of God. God is always faithful to who He is. Are you faithful to who you are? Every time we sin, we're not faithful to who we are. Because who you are is who you are in Christ. That's who you are. And when we sin, we betray who we are in Christ. That's what we do. God can never betray who He is. But we can, and we do. So Satan attacked this rite right after Luther's Reformation through John Calvin, who could not stand that God would give mankind volition to counter His will. No. You can't counter the will of God. This can't be. So he came up with Calvinism. God directs people to counter Him. That makes me feel better. That makes me feel terrible. What kind of God do you have? God creates a being not to believe in Him, so that God can cast him into the eternal lake of fire. What kind of God is that? See? No, people, God gave us volition. And you have authority over your own volition. See? Calvin blasphemed God. And counted what God did. But what I want you to understand is, we have volition. You can decide to believe in God, not believe in God. You can decide to believe in Jesus Christ, not believe in Jesus Christ. The volition of the individual is designed so that each individual reaches the age of accountability, can use his or her volition to decide in the existence of God, and then they're going to submit to it. I believe in God. I want a relationship with God. God says there's only one way, through His Son. I believe Him. I submit to His authority. I believe in His Son. Now you have volitional authority. Authority over your own volition. In our study, the man has volitional authority whom to ask to marry, in most cases. Most cases, the woman has an authority over her volition, say yes or no. If you say no, it's over. If you say yes, don't say no after the wedding. Because you've already said yes. So this is the whole point. You should be free to exercise your volition. You should have privacy to make decisions without being persecuted. That is, to make decisions as under the Lord. Of course, this freedom is within the confines of divine established authority. For an example, children are under the authority of their parents, wives under the authority of their husbands, and we are all under the authority of the Lord. But even in these established areas of authority, each individual has a volition to decide to submit to that authority or not. Point five. There are five basic things every child must learn from his parents or grandparents or church before he or she is released on society. And the reason I say grandparents, unfortunately in our society, a lot of grandparents are rearing their grandchildren because their children have copped out. So this becomes their responsibility. There are five things that should be taught that are not taught, but I want them to be known. One, the first, respect for authority. A, authority of the child's parents under the institution of the family. I'll tell you how my mother taught that. I had the audacity, my brothers and I, why? We learned a long time ago, because I said so. And at first, we didn't understand that. But once we understood that, that was fine. That communicated to our backside immediately. Because I said so. Yes, ma'am. That's it. That's all I needed to know. See? That's the principle. Here, they learn the importance of respect for authority. And I gave you some various passages you can study on that. I want to thank Kip for getting this out so that you can take these, study them, go over the passages. B, respect for authority of the Word of God. I am sorry to say that fewer and fewer people, including pastors, have respect for the authority of the Word of God in the church, over the church, over our lives. It directs us morally, politically, economically. But if you don't submit to it, you're going to be lost without it. C, authority of God the Father, Deuteronomy 6:4. D, authority of Jesus Christ and His teachings. Now, see E? E is a Martha question. I left it out. So Kit says, when he was reading this, he put it in, what about the Holy Spirit? Because Martha's going to ask. So I said, okay, so we put E in here. We submit to the authority of the Holy Spirit every time we trust Him. We trust in the Holy Spirit, we submit to His authority to direct us in life. To direct us in our study of the Word of God. Direct us in the decisions we make in life. F, authority of the pastor-teacher, where the parishioners attend to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. Passage is given. G, authority of those in society under divine institution, 2, 3, and 4. Local police, the stop sign, street lights, city, state, and national level. H, authority of the judge on the bench, local to national. These are things that children should learn at home. It's yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's what we should learn. But we don't. We rebel. We praise songs by singers that downgrade the police. Talk about even killing the police. And we play them on the radio. It's just amazing. Can't mention the name of the Lord, but you could sure sing songs to run down police. I, authority in athletes, in athletics, sports, the coach. I never forget our little grandson, little bitty guy, went out to play soccer. He's too young. That's his parents. But so I went out, cold morning, we drove across of town, and he was there, and it didn't work. So he comes over to the sideline, and he said, I don't like that guy with the whistle. That's the referee. And I had to laugh. That's classic. But you see, just to learn, you got to respect it. Listen, he's in authority. That whistle is authority. See? And that's where the kids learn it. Athletics is good. Kids learn, or should learn, from it. Authority in the military, chain of command. Authority in education, the teacher in the classroom. I feel sorry for any child whose parent takes the side of the child over the teacher. I really do. I feel sorry for the child. What a shame. My day, teacher, that's it. We didn't even have the right to question. That's it. Today, teacher's wrong. I'm going to go down and protest. I don't like their dress code. I don't like this code. I don't like that code. I don't like that everybody has to pass and all these things. You're taking away the teaching of authority. L, authority in human volition is always defend freedom. We should defend freedom. Now, go to the second thing parent or child should learn. The principle of self-discipline. Doing the pleasant things as well as doing the unpleasant things. Learn to self-discipline. Third thing, respect for the privacy of others. Here they will learn not to stick their nose in other people's business. Not to judge others, malign others. That's respect to other people's privacy. It's not just a matter of respecting privacy in your own life. It's respecting people's privacy in life. You don't have authority over that. Four, respect for the property of others. Passages on stealing, protection of property. This is where they learn to return something they borrowed in the same condition in which they received it, borrowed it. They learn respect the property. People, property is so close to our freedom. A lot of Americans do not understand the importance of private property. Your home, your property you live on. It is so vital. If we don't respect that, we have no freedom. Privacy and property are very crucial to freedom. And the fifth thing, respect for the rights of others. Something that's lost in America. Now we go back to major point six in the study of authority. There's another area where we learn about authority, and that's in the academic authority. Regardless of whether it is public school, private school, college, university, graduate school, or Christian school. When you enter school as a student, you must accept the authority of the school and its policies. The dress code, the moral code, the academic code. I was so amazed that Highland Park changed their policy. They had a policy that if an athlete got in trouble morally off campus, it affected their ability and their right to play in that athletic thing. Enough parents protested because their little boys got in moral trouble, had nothing to do with the school, so Highland Park changed their policy. People, it's a shame. We're teaching our children not to respect authority. You've got to respect authority. Unfortunately, we live in a time when students and parents rebel against these dress codes, actually win over the authority of the school. And they become so arrogantly proud of themselves and their children. You have just done your child a disservice that just may go with them the rest of their lives right into their marriage, whether they're the boy or the girl. You just did them a disservice in teaching them how to have an authority as a little boy when he becomes a husband, a little girl when she becomes a wife. That's what you're teaching them for, parents. You're teaching your little boys to be husbands. Teaching your little girls to be wives. Yes. Yeah. Okay. If you don't like something about a school, choose some other school. But don't be surprised if no school meets your standards or lack of them. You have no privilege of agreement or disagreement with their authority. When you enter the school, you have only the right and the privilege to do it. Authority is always the issue academically. And everyone should know that in most cases, most schools do not teach objectively any longer. Teaching history objectively is all but lost in America, where they twist and distort history to fit their global ideas and objectives. Few graduating seniors in high school in America know the differences among capitalism, socialism, communism, and globalization, and national loyalty. I've asked them, what's the difference between capitalism and communism? I've asked seniors. They don't know. They cannot verbalize it. It's a shame. It's what the academics are supposed to do. They do not know or even understand the difference economically in each of these political structures. Few Christians know it was Christianity that was the foundation for capitalism and the division of church and state. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, unto God the things that are God. Separation of church and state. Christianity. And yet, America's against Christianity. A majority of Americans. 7. Another area of authority, athletics. Coaches should be the best disciplinarians for young people, getting them ready for the military, for citizenship, for marriage. Boy or girl. Coaches should have the authority to remove people from the team, to have strict codes, dress, hair, moral standards. Today we have permissiveness in coaching, and it shows from peewee all the way up to professional. Today, winning rules, money rules, executives who have no understanding of authority rule over the coaches. It's a shame who we are. I knew personally a coach in Houston, football coach. Every boy on the football team had short hair. One of the students did not want to do that. His father came knocked on the coach's door, came in, coach sitting at his desk. He said, I'm so-and-so's father. And I understand that if my son wants to play football, he's got to cut his hair. That's right. What good is cutting his hair going to have to do? Is it going to make him a better halfback for you? Is it going to make him a better runner? No, not at all. Well, then why does he have to do it? Because I said so. And I respect the dad. He went, okay. Turned around and walked off, and the boy got a haircut. See? Got to understand the authority of the coach. We don't. Point 8. Another area where authority is important is in the area of the military. Our freedom depends on discipline, authority, and sound thinking leaders. You do not get to choose who is an authority over you, and you best submit to it, like it or not. To take 80 to 150, depending on the company, a company is a group of 80 to 150, men and women, from all walks of life, all races, all backgrounds, moral, politically, education, IQ, all these things, and to get them to operate as a one machine, that is an astronomical job. And you just have a few months to do that. 80 to 150. I know parents that can't do it with one. But here you got 80 to 150 men and women, and you've got to get them to act as a unit, to accomplish an objective. Right face, left face, double times. Oh, march, 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 march. See, why? You're getting them to learn, to submit to authority, and just do it. Just do your job. Do what you're told to do. Do what you're commanded to do. See? Clinton, Obama, and George W. Bush, all three are strong globalists. All three have tried their best to dismantle the U.S. military. And one of the most important ways was to attack authority. 9. There are many different Greek words for authority. Now, this could have taken 2 or 3 hours. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go through every one of these words. There are many different Greek words. The Greek word exousia is one of the more prominent words for authority. The definition involves authority, right, and power. It differs from another word used for authority, dunamai, where we get the word dunamis. That means power. The difference in these two words is that exousia simply refers to the delegation of authority. He's up there in that position. While dunamis refers to the capability to be in authority. One may be in a position of authority, but not have the inherent ability to be in charge. What is difficult is one who has the inherent ability has to submit to the authority of a superior simply because they're in a superior position, but do not have even close to the ability of the one who has to submit. But that one has to submit. So the different Greek words give you different ideas of what's going on, so that we will all understand that we are to submit to the authority of God. The word is used of the absolute authority of God in Acts chapter 1, beginning of the church age. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. His position of His command. The authority of God and His delegation of authority in the divine institutions is final, but is challenged by the arrogance of men and women. And when we come to salvation, God's authority is at the foundation of the gospel. Luke 12:5. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast you into the lake of fire. Yes, I tell you, fear that one. Only God has the authority and the power to condemn mankind to the eternal lake of fire. Oftentimes, in movies, we will hear, damn you. See? But don't ever worry about it if somebody does that to you. Kind of laugh. You don't have that authority. They don't have that authority to do that. Only God has that authority, and I'm locked in not to receive it. So there, take that. It is amazing how many Christians, ladies, believe God has His authority, but not authority to tell them to submit to the authority of their husbands. Now what is interesting is that God the Father has delegated His authority over to His Son, Jesus Christ. John 5:27. And He, God the Father, gave Him, Jesus Christ, authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. I will not exegete the verse, Son of Man, not the Son of God, because He's Son of Man. Now, ladies, you claim to follow and obey Jesus Christ. Well, we will see in Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. We, each one of us, must decide. Does Jesus Christ have the authority to direct areas in my life where I am to submit to His delegated authority? Like to my parent, to my husband, to those in position of authority. Does Christ have authority over your life to tell you who to submit to? That's your first decision. If a woman doesn't submit to her husband, it's not refusing to submit to him, she's refusing to submit to the Lord. That's who she's refusing to submit to. I refuse to submit to the Lord, I refuse to submit to you. But it's not to him, it's to the Lord. The decision here is not to submit, is not to submit or not to submit to the immediate authority, but to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ over our lives. The wife is not making a decision to submit to her husband, but to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he have that authority to tell you to do that? In the word study on authority, there is also a warning to husbands, to whom their wives are to submit. The Greek word is kata exousia. Now you see, the second part is our word, but there's a prefix to it, which is used to describe the misuse of authority. Its meaning is using your authority as power against, in order to fulfill the interest of the one in authority. This is the word used. Jesus Christ warns against the use of this kind of authority. Look at Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over, that's our word, cause them to submit to him, and their great men exercise authority over them. Exercise authority over them to get their own objective. That's not why a husband exercises authority to get his own way. We'll study that when we come to the man's paragraph. He does it to protect, to nourish, and to advance that marriage. Not to get his own way. That is an abuse of authority. Just like a parent. You don't discipline your children, train your children to get your way. You're doing it for their benefit. Teach them how to become adults. Jesus teaches us that positions of authority carry great responsibility, men, husbands. Namely, that the one in authority is to be the servant of those under their authority. So, husbands, you are to use your position of authority to serve your wives, not lord over them. You are to use your authority to protect and serve your wives, not to lord over them. Another Greek word for authority, kurio, from kurios, lord, to have or exercise authority over. Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might lord both the dead and of the living. He is the Lord. He is the authority. He's the one who gives authority over the dead and the living. The Greek word dunamis emphasizes power more than authority. One has authority because they have power. The great movie Camelot. Does power make right? See, that's the whole issue of the round table. See, do you have the power? Does that make right? Or do you use your authority in the right way? That's the great issue. There is much to learn in regard to authority, but this should be a good foundation for authority in marriage. People who do not learn how to submit to authority, how to properly use authority, will in most cases have difficulty in marriage. Submission, according to the Bible, is an act of the will determined by voluntarily serving others out of an attitude that regards them as more important than you yourself. See, this does not mean that you place yourself under their control. You stand directly accountable to God, not to anyone else, ultimately as their ultimate authority. You are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the supreme example of submission. God's word requires you to submit without being argumentative or complaining. And that's where we'll start next Sunday morning. We'll actually look at some words in the Greek for submission, and then we'll get on to the husband's paragraph. And we'll also study why the wives' paragraph is given first. And it's not just because ladies first. It's more important than that. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that you have let yourself be made known to us, and that all your design and plan are in agreement with your faithfulness. That if we submit to your plan for our lives, you are faithful to us. Your faithfulness is to your plan. Father, we thank you for the institution of marriage. We thank you for the difference in woman and the difference it makes. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given to us in your word various principles to guide the wife and the husband, that we can enjoy one another, that we can have that stability in our own individual lives, and then contribute that to the body of Christ and to our nation. Pray, Father, your Spirit could use the things we've seen this morning to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.